Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico. And tonight we've got a great show for you. I'm just waiting a few moments here for my first guest to contact the program, so just bear with us here. In the meantime, I'm going to do a couple of announcements. First off, just to let you know some of the upcoming guests. It's hard to believe we're winding up the month of October here in just a couple of weeks. October 24th, the gentleman from Ontic Golf, Mr. Bernie Pinder, is going to be joining me here. As you recall, I've mentioned now a couple of times that we had some technical difficulties when he was on here a little over a month ago. And he's also going to be joined throughout the program, through the broadcast, by one of the senior VPs, Greg Ortman, who was here last week talking about his book, Golfology, which I will have up on the website as well, so that you can click on that and purchase a copy of that. Great book, by the way. Just finished reading the whole thing the other day, and a lot of great tips in there, and a lot of great pointers for you teacher professionals as well as the avid golfer out there. Also joining him, Bernie, on the 24th of October is going to be Joe Watson, who created a product that I've used a number of times called No Sweat Lotion. And as I mentioned last week, basically what it is, it's a product that you use, spray on your hands, and it prevents your hands from sweating. It's non-toxic, very, very eco-friendly, so not an issue about that. And it really does work, guys. I've used it a number of times, as I said, and especially down here in the south where you have a lot of humid days. There's nothing worse than having to continue to dry off your hands with a towel and so forth. This product is great, and it's currently up on the website, and I'll give you that information in just a minute. On the 31st of October, I'm going to be joined by another special guest, Diana DeLucia, who's going to be coming on talking about a great book that she put together, a really, really fascinating and interesting book called Golf Club World, Behind the Gates. And really, it's a look at a lot of different very high-end golf courses around the world, some great photography that is in the book, and some other bits and pieces. And I'll let her obviously talk a little bit more about that when she comes on the October 31st show. So she'll be joining me here in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to having her as well. And, of course, I mentioned last week, I think actually the last couple of weeks, I'm very excited about the first show in November. I'm going to be joined by two gentlemen, Kent Novus, who is one of the owners of Nine Iron Drink, which is a sports hydration drink. He's going to be coming on and talking a little bit about that. It's really a great drink. I've tried some of it. They sent me out some samples of it, and very, very refreshing, and it's not meant to hop you up and that sort of thing. It's really specifically geared and designed for the golf industry. And that's Kent Novus of Nine Iron Drinks going to be joining me. But he's also going to be bringing along a very special guest who I'm really looking forward to having as well. Of course, numerous PGA winning tournaments, Mr. Billy Casper is going to be joining us on November 7th here on Golf Talk Live. Billy's going to be coming on talking about he's actually in relationship with this particular soft drink, the sports drink rather, and he's also going to be coming on talking about his new book called The Big Three and Me, which is really an autobiography, talks about his time on the tour. He won 51 PGA Tour events, three of them were majors, two U.S. Opens, and of course the 79 Masters Tournament, excuse me, which he's going to be talking about a little bit when he's on here. That is all in the book. And really looking forward to having Mr. Casper on the program here on November 7th. So make sure that you spread the word around and tune in for that. And just for those of you that haven't tuned in before, this is a live broadcast between 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. I've kind of cut it off about 7:30-ish, just depending on who the guests are and how long they've allotted me to come on the program. But normally it runs a full 2 hours. You can contact the program at any time during the live broadcast. The number to call is area code 646-716-4667. Again, that number is 646-716-4667. You can contact any time during the live broadcast if you want to speak to either myself or maybe if you have questions for the guests that evening. You can also email for those of you that are a little bit shy about coming on the air. You can certainly email me any questions or comments at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Again, that email is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Also, anybody that's interested in coming on the program as a guest, if you're a teaching professional or somebody in the golf industry, maybe you've got a great product that you want to share with the listeners here, certainly you can email me there as well, and we'll get in touch with you and arrange a time for you to come on the program. Also, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/golftalklive blog. Certainly appreciate and thank those of you that have gone ahead and already liked the page for us. If you would please do that, I would really appreciate it. I want to get those numbers up, of course. We're on, as I said, on Facebook at Golf Talk Live blog. And I also mentioned the last few weeks, I'm also on Twitter. You can send me a tweet at Ted and Buck CEO, and it's Ted and Buck CEO. CEO is, of course, in all caps. The Ted and Buck, of course, is in lowercase. Also, our website, make sure that you visit the Golf Talk Live blog or website, and that's at www.golftalkliveblog.com. And on there, in addition to, and I apologize, a couple of people have mentioned me about under the show schedule. I was having some problems with that particular format, and so I hadn't actually posted the schedules in there. I had used a Google calendar for it and was running into a little bit of a snag with it. So I'm going to make some adjustments there, and I'll get the upcoming guests and so forth so you can see who's going to be coming on the program in future dates. But you can go on there. Obviously, there's a few products I've got on there, In Your Face View Base, which I've talked about here in the program. Also, the No Sweat Lotion is on there. And I've got some other products that are going to be going up on the website blog as well. So make sure that you check those out. And if you click on the link, either the Buy Now or Click Here link, it will take you directly to a secure website where you can purchase those products without any concern. So and get those shipped out to you. Both great products. The No Sweat Lotion is a fantastic product I've used, and I also have the In Your Face View Base, which is basically a stand, if you were, or base for your iPhone or smartphone that you can clip onto your golf cart and or golf bag. Great product in itself. Really want to endorse that. So make sure that you visit the golftalkliveblog.com website and purchase that, especially with the holidays coming up in another month or so. Make a great gift for some of your golfing buddies out there, and it'd be a nice little stocking stuffer for dad at home. So make sure you visit the site. As I said, I'm just waiting for my first guest to call into the program here. She's running just a few minutes late, so I apologize. One other thing that I want to do is I've got just another announcement very quickly here. For those of you out in the Wiregrass, that's in the Dothan, Alabama area, that may be tuning into the program, there's a great event coming on Friday, November the 1st, 2013, at the Highland Oaks, which is Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail here in Dothan, Alabama. It's for the Boy Scout Golf Challenge presented by Covan, which is a worldwide moving company, and also by Golf Plus. And it's for a great cause. Entry fee is $100 per golfer or $400 per team. Or if you want to be a team sponsor, you can for $500 you can sponsor a team sponsorship with a whole sponsorship sign. And included in the entry is, of course, the green fees and cart. Range balls are included. There'll be a full clubhouse breakfast, gift bag, raffle tickets, and, of course, the Boy Scout Challenge team entry. The time for the event starts at 8:30 to 10 o'clock a.m., which is the registration and breakfast. The 9 to 10 p.m., 10 a.m. is the Boy Scout Team Challenge, and there'll be a shotgun start at 10:30 a.m. At the Highlands, and, of course, at 3 o'clock will be a raffle and awards, and, of course, that time is going to be approximate depending on how long the event runs. If you're interested in getting more information, you can get a copy of the registration form. You can contact Jerry Freeberg at jerry.freeberg@scouting.org, or you can contact him at area code 334-793-7882. So remember that date, guys. For those of you in the Dothan, Alabama area, or the Wiregrass area, as it's affectionately called, Friday, November 1st is the Boy Scout Golf Challenge out at the Highland Oaks Golf Course on the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail in Dothan, Alabama. Make sure, and I will read that again before the end of the broadcast. Just to update a couple things, as I've talked about before here on the program, we're going to be starting a new segment in the new year. Not sure the exact date I'm going to launch it. It's going to depend shortly after the holidays, obviously, but is going to be the Coach's Corner segment, where I will have a number of some of the past guests that have been on here, some of the teaching professionals are going to come back on here and participate in this segment. And it's going to be an hour-long segment. We'll run it probably at the beginning of the show. And I'll give you, the listeners that have been tuning in every week, some of you that are wanting some help working on your game, can certainly tune in to the program and ask some of the coaches and teacher professionals some questions that can hopefully help your game. And we're going to start that in the new year, probably, I'm guessing, sometime beginning of February. Again, just to sort of let the holidays go through. I will be running some shows in January after New Year's, but I think I'm going to allow a little bit extra time before I run the Coach's Corner segment, just allow everybody a chance to recoup from the holidays, as it were. Also, something else that I'm going to be doing, still in the works and putting this together, but I really want to, and I mentioned this a couple times before on the program, one of the things that I want to do here on Golf Talk Live is really have a wide diversity of topics and things. And one thing that's really been very important to me is really getting a lot more women into the sport. I think that there's certainly a lot that are participating now, but I think a lot of them are still a little bit shy and apprehensive about getting into the game. And I think one of the ways that I want to help to get around that is I'm going to be putting together an exclusive show every month. It's probably going to be around the third Thursday of every month. Again, I'm not really 100% sure yet. I'm still in the works on that. But where the show is going to be really dedicated to not only women that want to take up the game, but women in the teaching profession, also women that are in the product end of it and clothing end of it, of the golf business. I want to give them an opportunity to come on to Golf Talk Live and talk about different things and different topics that are important to women, because obviously their needs are a little bit different than the guys' needs, and I want to give them a fair shake. And there's really not a lot out there as far as in the media is concerned that really focuses on strictly women. So I want to dedicate a show every month to strictly the women in golf, and I'm going to be having some of the favorites back on the program that have been on here as past guests. They've certainly want to participate in this program and got a bunch more lined up as well. So that's something that we're going to be doing in the new year as well, women in golf. And that's going to be, as I said, probably be the third Thursday of every month. And I'll probably start it around the same time that I start the Coach's Corner segment as well. Just one other quick note, if I can. Later on in the program, I'm going to be joined by my second guest, which is Rita Schieneman. She is an innovator of Star Putter's training tool, and she's going to be coming on talking about that. It's really a very interesting training tool, and it's been endorsed by, of course, Master PGA teacher professional Chuck Cook, and really a host of other PGA and Champion Tour players are using this as a training aid, and she's going to come on and talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast. My first guest tonight is going to be Penny Pauls, and she is quite the competitor. And I'm just, as I said, I'm just waiting for her to contact me here in the next little bit, and I'm not sure what the delay is right now, but hopefully she'll be joining us here shortly. In the meantime, just want to remind everybody again that you can visit the Golf Talk Live Facebook page at Golf Talk Live blog, facebook.com/Golf Talk Live blog. Also the website, www.golftalkliveblog.com. And just want to also mention one thing I forgot. On the 24th, as I mentioned, joining me is going to be Mr. Bernie Pinder from Ontic Golf. He's going to be joining us, and obviously Dr. Greg Ortman, who's involved with Ontic as well. And I believe Barry Goldstein, who is also involved with Ontic Golf, is going to be chiming in at some point throughout the program. So I wanted to mention Barry. Barry is become a pretty good friend here over the last little while, and of course his daughter Carly Ray is now playing at LSU, and I believe she just had her last first tournament here this past weekend, and not sure what the results were of that, but definitely want to get an update from Barry on that. As you may recall, she was on with Barry probably about 2 months ago now. They came on the program, and she was just getting ready to head out to LSU to play on the golf team, and of course 10th University and get great education. But she was very excited about working with her teammates and helping that team out there. And very, very excited. And she's just a phenomenal young lady, very, very professional in her demeanor and obviously very focused on her game. And she is, I think, if I recall from the conversation, I believe she had won just prior to coming on that show her 100th tournament as a junior golfer. So just a phenomenal young lady, just very classy, very professional. And she's only, as I recall, she's only 18 years old. So she's very, very young, but got a very promising future ahead. And looking forward to having her back on the program, possibly in the next month or so, just to give us an update on how things are going at LSU. And, of course, we'll get Barry to chime in and give us an update. I know he's Barry, if you're listening to the program tonight, I know you're missing your daughter quite a bit. She's a little ways from home, but not that far that you can't make a drive out there and visit her, I'm sure, many, many times throughout the school year. But anyways, Barry, I know that you're very proud of Carly Rae, as all of us who are following her career, and look forward to her many, many more tournaments under her belt as she moves forward in her career. And good luck to the LSU Tigers as well, their golf team, and hopefully that they'll have many wins this season. Just to mention one other thing, if I can. As I said, I'm just waiting for my guest, my first guest, to contact me here on the program. Again, I'm not sure what the delay is. Maybe perhaps stuck in some traffic or something. But anyways, Billy Casper, as I mentioned, is going to be, and actually I think that is her right now. So let me just bring her on. Hi, good evening. Welcome to Golf Talk Live. This Penny?
No, Ted, this is Rita. I'm listening to the show, and it sounds like, you know, you might want to have a little conversation, so
yeah,
I just thought I'd give you a buzz and see how you
Yeah, do. I'm just waiting. I appreciate it. Actually, what we can do, Rita, if you want, I'm not sure. I had actually sent another email to Penny. As I said, I'm not sure if she's maybe tied up in some traffic or something, but if you
it
want,
happens.
We can actually yeah, I know. It happens. It happens to the best of us, so but Rita, if you want, what we can do is I can start your segment now, and I can shift things around when Penny contacts us in. But just for those of you that are tuning in right now on the program,
okay.
This is my special guest, another special guest, Rita Scheneman, an innovator of the Star Putting Tool and also a teacher professional. Rita, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ted. Thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun to do these kind of things, and I enjoy listening to your shows, as I think it does help grow the game, and it gives people some time to listen to some good teaching professionals and things that are going on in the industry, and it's nice to be on the show. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Glad to have you. Just as I was saying, you know, while I was waiting for Penny to contact us here, one of the things that we're going to be doing, this is something that you may be of interest in as well, in the new year, one of the things that I'm going to be doing, in addition to obviously having a segment called Coach's Corner, I don't know if you caught that part or if you've heard it in previous broadcasts, but I'm also going to be dedicating one of the Thursdays every month is going to be dedicated solely for women in golf, and it's going to be a wide range of things. It's going to have some, obviously, female teaching professionals going to be coming on, but also those that maybe are in the product end of it or manufacturing end of it, that sort of thing, clothing
yeah.
lines, that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, want to have them on. And it really is just to help grow the game in an area that I think could really use a lot of help. There was a time when I think women in golf was starting to really prosper, but I've noticed just by some of the numbers that I've seen that it's kind of dwindled a little bit, and I think there's a number of reasons, and we won't get into them right now because I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your product, but I hope you'll participate
sure.
in that as well. I think you'd have a lot of fun. So,
yeah, I'd love to.
Rita,
I think it's an area that can definitely grow in our industry.
Exactly. Rita, why don't you just give us a little bit of a background on yourself, and then we'll move into the product, how it all came about, but just give us a little background, some of the things that you've done in the past in the golf industry and what sort of got you into the golf industry.
Oh, gosh, how long is the show? briefly, I started playing the game as a child, and I loved to hate it. Played with my dad and You know, I heard you talking about Bernie and his daughter, you know, and I just love that relationship. I kind of follow them on Facebook, and, you know, I had a dad that was a lot like him. Not Bernie.
Barry.
The other, yes.
Barry Goldstein,
and,
yeah. I knew you meant.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And, you know, they just have such a strong relationship. And, you know, my dad was my biggest fan, you know, and, you know, I could never beat him, you know. And but he really made me love the game. And but he made me strong, you know. I always believed that there really wasn't anybody that I couldn't beat on any given day because of the love and the passion that I received from my dad in the sport. And unfortunately, I didn't start until I was probably in high school and just a little bit too late to, you know, get into the golf competitively collegiate. But started teaching junior golf camps when I was going to college in San Marcos. And I just fell in love with the kids and the programs. And several of the members at the club said, you know, if, you know, you'd be really good at this game if you worked at it. Anyway, long story short, I landed a job in Austin at Barton Creek and worked for Brent Buckman and a great team of professionals there when Barton Creek had just opened, and got to meet and hang out with Ben Crenshaw and Chuck Cook and Harvey Pinnock. And, I mean, it was just, you know, I was in my 20s and it was just a dream. You know, it was great. And I learned a lot about the game and started a career. Mike Adams was teaching at the Hills of Lakeway at the time, so I'm kind of dating myself a little bit. But Mike took me on as a student and taught me the game as a player. And I tried to play a little bit on the tour when I guess I was probably about 26 or something like that. And just didn't have the experience. You really need to have that junior golf experience. It's so key, so important. And he hired me at PGA National, and I really had my first experience as an instructor, kind of immersed in just teaching. It was the PGA National Golf Academy with Mike, and three-day golf schools, I mean, clinics. And Mike is a brilliant teacher, and I learned so much from him about, you know, finding the one thing that's going to help the person and staying true to that one thing and not trying to reinvent the wheel. But, you know, if it's ball position or if it's club face or whatever the fundamental is that's going to help that person, then you really focus on it and key in there and see what happens, see what unfolds, see what kind of natural tendencies will compensate or not compensate, and then go from there. And then kind of met up with Gary Wyron, and I've just been so lucky in my career to work for some outstanding professionals. More recent would have been David Ledbetter. And at the time, I developed a putting tool that is a real simple tool. It's in the shape of a star, and I have a couple of patents on it. But some really good players have used it. Steve Jones was one of the early advocates of it and won the U.S. Open. And it was a prototype kind of, you know, star. And anyway, I've had some great success with teaching professionals and players use it. And now college, the collegiate market has really taken off for us. And we're trying to get more and more high schools and college teams that use it, because it really helps golfers learn how to aim their putter and recognize the true putter face, you know, correctly aimed. And
it's interesting because I watched the video promotional video that Chuck Cook did, which obviously did a phenomenal job, and what a great spokesperson to help get the word out on this product. And it is what's very interesting about it is, you know, there's a lot of products out there, not just for putting but for everything, and you know, some of them are really, and I'm being polite about this, but just are not going to help your game. But I really had a good look at this, and the nice thing about this, Rita, is it's a very simple product, but very effective.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
Sometimes I think what happens with a lot of people that get into that end of it, because it's a tough business. I mean, really, when you're making or creating some sort of or innovating, as you put it, What often happens is people overthink the process and they get too technical or too complicated. And if it's not something easy and simple to use, people will just sort of put it on the shelf. But this is, it's a very small, physically very small product. So it's, you know, easy to carry around, and it comes in a great, I would call it a pouch, but a bag that you have very, very nicely done, by the way.
Thank you.
That, you know, you can take with you and, you know, put it in your golf bag, or you could actually, I think you could probably even attach it somehow if you wanted, but you can take it with you and it's not cumbersome or in, you know, in the way at all.
Right.
But the tool itself, and I'm going to let you explain how, basically how it works, but it's just a very simple product, yet very effective, and I could see literally this flying off the shelves type of
well,
product.
Well, you know, it does in the pro circuit. It does. I get calls all the time. Send me a star. And I mean, there are players that we've all heard of, but, you know, I'm not in a position to share them just because, you know, they get paid quite a bit of money for endorsements, and Star Putter isn't there yet. One day we will. We've got a couple of girls that are on the Symetra Tour that, gosh, they just missed getting their card. Olivia Jordan Higgins, she's a brilliant player, and I mean, she was ranked sixth on the Symetra Tour, and they had a bit of a break, and, you know, it just wasn't her time. She missed the cut, and all she needed, I think she missed it by, you know, less than $150, Ted, you know, and poor thing, my heart just broke for her, but she had a brilliant year. I mean, she won, and she just did fantastic, and a couple of other girls on the tour are using it, and as well as the PGA Tour and the NGA Tour and the web.com Tour. And, you know, success there is great. It's really getting people in the mass market, oh, I've seen that, or, you know, and it's marketing. And it takes a lot longer than I realized. Certainly a lot more money, that's for sure.
Well, I think the thing, too, that really helps a lot, you know, the way I look at this, is, you know, we've all seen it, you know, whether it be on the Golf Channel or what have you, you'll see a number of different products being endorsed and things like that. And, you know, sometimes it might be one or two pros that will do it. But as you indicated, and I know for obvious reasons you're not getting into a whole bunch of names, but you can get the information on your website, of course, at starputter.com. But the interesting thing is there are a lot of, you know, PGA and other tour representatives that have used your product and do literally enjoy it and get a great value and benefit from using it. So it's not just something, you know, that they're hyping up or they're getting paid for, have you. It's something that's used. And that really, to me, is a much better endorsement from a professional if they are using it for their own personal use and it's not just something that they're being paid to say. So, I mean, endorsements are great, don't get me wrong. But sometimes just the fact they're using it and getting results and enjoying it and willing to, you know, speak kindly of the product. And it is a great product. And obviously, as you say, teaching professionals as well want to use that product.
It's a simple tool. I mean, and it works for left-handers and right-handers. It works for beginners, you know, 36 handicap to, you know, your touring professional. And it's a great little device. And like you said, it's simple. It's carry it in your golf bag, and if you practice with it 5-10 minutes before you go play, you're going to make more putts.
Right. Now, just very, very quickly, and I know it's hard when you can't visualize. Obviously, we want to send them and let them watch the video that Chuck did to get a better idea, but very quickly, if you can, just kind of explain how it actually works, what they do with it, essentially, and how it works.
Okay. Well, to begin with, you have to know that all putts are straight. Even though greens break and there's undulations, you need to find an aim point or your point where you want to sight your putter to and putt the ball. And the challenge is, in golf, we stand to the side of the putt. We don't stand behind it, as, you know, like in you know, basketball or shooting billiards or something like that. And standing to the side, the eyes work differently. And so perception changes, and what makes the star useful is that you sight the star from behind the line, where we're more accurate, just like when you sight the golf ball. You know, a lot of people will put that ring around the golf ball and sight it down the target line and then use that as a reference. But if you use the star from behind the line, you sight it, and then you lay it down. There's a bent point on one of the points, the sighting point, and you just anchor that into the ground. And now it's sturdy, so you just putt over the top of it using the adjacent edge to that point. It's kind of difficult to explain, Ted, but if you could just draw a star, you know how you learned how to draw a star in elementary school? If it was a perfect star, a five-pointed star, every point would have an adjacent edge that's perpendicular. So the top point is perpendicular to whatever you aim to point to. And so using that edge, you line up the leading edge of the putter to the leading edge of the star.
Right.
And there's some exposed stainless on the painted stars, just enough so you can see that your eyes are over the golf ball. Or if you just see the top of your head, you know your eyes are slightly inside the golf ball, which is a preference. But you need to know where your eyes are anyway. And then you just putt over the top of it as you maintain a steady head position in the reflection. And you just putt over the top, training your eyes to recognize what a square face looks like. And then that carries
right
over to the putting green. And the package, it does come with a ball marker, which you can play with, and it has a star on it. So, you know, you can still visualize and use it just like we would when, you know, you're practicing.
Right. And it is, as you said, it's very, very really simple. And I strongly suggest those that are tuning into the program that you visit Rita's website at starputter.com and check out the YouTube video that's on there from Chuck Cook. He really sort of explains a little bit about how, and actually does a much better visual demonstration than what you're going to hear here. But you know, I obviously wanted you to come on the program to have an opportunity to talk a little bit about it and just sort of explain to the listeners what it's entailed. And we're going to obviously, now if somebody wants to contact you and get more information about that, how can they do that?
They can either go to the website and do that. There's a contact us, or email me, rita@starputter.com. That would be great.
Okay. And is there anything that that you would want to suggest as a way of utilizing, like, are there any little drills and things like that that they can use? Obviously, I know that the star is self-explanatory, but is there things that you would suggest that, or maybe that Chuck has suggested that the those that are tuning in, obviously live?
Yeah, there's
a
great drill that you can do even without a star. You get 5 to 10 golf balls, and you start from about 4 feet from the cup, and you putt, you know, those 10 golf balls, and you putt them all until you make them all. And then you move around the cup, maybe 4 different locations. And if there's a slight break, you'll be able to have an uphill putt, a downhill putt, a right to left, and a left to right. And, you know, make all of those 10 putts in a row, and then move back maybe a step and go around the cup again. And with the star, you can do probably 3 sessions being successful in less half the time, maybe even
right,
less. So what I'm saying is that you use the star and you do this drill, you know, it takes you 15 minutes rather than, you know, maybe the 30 or 45 minutes without the star. So your practice is more effective. It builds confidence.
Right.
The more you do it, I have junior golfers that will sit there for an hour and see how many they can make in a row, and it's well into the hundreds, you know, from 5-6 feet. And, you know, they challenge themselves as to, okay, well, how many can I make, you know, today?
Mm-hmm.
And it's engaging. It really challenges the individual. And when you get up into the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it brings on a little bit of attention that when you're playing, you know, when you can go and practice and there's no tension if they make it or not. But here you're into your highest, you know, number in a row from 6-7 feet, and, you know, you're on 72 and your record's 75, and you get a little nervous. And just like
mm-hmm.
that same kind of nerve when you're in competition, you know, it's a little bit nervous. So it's very effective in so many ways. It's a tool that I developed more by chance and opportunity than, hey, I'm going to invent something and do this. It really helps the golfer optimize and their performance. It's a training device. It's a tool.
Yeah, and it's great. And I've talked many, many times on Golf Talk Live about importance of really working on your short game. A lot of people, obviously, we've kind of kidded to some of the other teaching professionals and I on the program about how, you know, quite often people will grab their driver and they're up in the driving range. And I'm not even talking about, you know, before playing around, but just going up sort of in a practice session and they're just beating ball after ball and they're not really doing anything. And putting is such a huge, huge part of a golf game. And, you know, to have a tool like this to be able to help you make sure that you're lining up correctly and things like that. And, again, it's so compact. And very easy to use. And again, I suggest I'm going to give that website again. It's starputter.com. I strongly suggest that you not only visit and check out the video there that they've got on the website, but also that you purchase one. And it retails for what?
It's $20. It's the best $20 you can spend on your game. It's less than a golf club.
Oh, for sure.
A dozen golf balls. But, you know, it's a great investment. And also, you know, I've had some success, Ted, I'll just mention briefly, for golf tournaments and outings. The pricing is even, you know, it's wholesale or below wholesale for a full field tournament, and they can be engraved, they look beautiful, and everyone loves to get these stars. It's, you know, you don't have to just have one, you can have two or three in a practice session or have a friend and practice together and really enjoy some social time as well as some good fundamental building. It's a great device, but it has so many other benefits. And for golf tournaments, it really makes a nice goodie bag item because, I mean, I've had people say, you know, I don't even look in the goodie bag because I know what's in there. And it's, you know,
right.
It's the same thing. But
I know I sent you my shipping address, so I'll be looking for my star putting tool in the mail coming in the next, just in time for Christmas. How's that?
No, you'll have it before then. Yes.
All right, I appreciate it. Well, listen, Rita, and you're going to be hearing more about this because we're going to be talking about it over the next few weeks here on Golf Talk Live. We're going to be doing some promotional work in that here on the program for you to help get some of those out there for those that want to get maybe a stocking stuffer or something for Christmas. It makes a great Christmas gift, fantastic product. And Rita, I want to thank you very much, for coming on Golf Talk Live and talking about
thanks
it.
For
and you're welcome
time.
To come back.
A lot of time, and I appreciate your time. And I hope Penny is on the phone, ready to...
Yes, she is. She's actually...
That's
yeah,
great.
She's actually just on hold. She contacted me, and there was a little bit of a mix-up with the time, but that's not a problem. But, Rita, I want to thank you very much, and I will give it another quick plug before the show ends tonight.
Absolutely,
so thank you very, very much for coming on the
listening.
Program. And I appreciate it. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Okay, let me just, Penny's on hold here. I'm going to bring her on in just a second, but let me just do a quick introduction. Penny Pohl's the competitor. Penny was ranked a top 10 LPGA golfer in the world and two LPGA wins to her credit. And she was also two top 50 golf teacher awards and a focus expert. She has trained thousands of entrepreneurs and golfers in the game of golf and also the game of business to win over and over again. Ask you to join me in welcoming Penny Pohl's. Good evening, Penny, and welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Well, good evening, Ted. I'm just so mad at my telephone for giving me the wrong time. I'm an on-time girl. I'm a golfer, for crikey's sake.
That's right. Well, listen, Penny, I understand, and it certainly wouldn't be the first time, and that's the one thing when you're dealing with time changes and things like that. Obviously, Penny's out in Arizona. And I'm here in Panama City Beach, Florida, so I'm on the Eastern time. But not a problem. I'm glad that you made it and we got that cleared up. And welcome to the show. I already did the introduction before I brought you actually on here, so the listeners know who's on here. Let me just ask a few questions here just to start off. And I know you want to talk about the focus end, the focus ebook that you've got out now, Focus Determines Success. And I know we want to talk about that, but I want to give the listeners a little bit about your golfing background. Tell us about where you're from and some of the sorts of things you did growing up prior to golf.
Right. Well, Ted, you know, I'm an Australian, and Australia's crazy for golf. We're kind of crazy anyway, doesn't matter. But I started out actually as a ventriloquist. I wanted to get all my toys. My parents, we had three kids, and we all were stuffed into a little Volkswagen and just a regular family, and I wanted more things. And I saw this show on TV, and this is a Jerry G show, and I said, well, I think I'll go on that and win some prizes. So that was kind of like a little
right.
foreshadowing, and I kept doing it for 4 years until I finally won the grand prize, and I had my bike, my radio, and everything else. And then I hit my teenage years, and that was the end of that. And so I was always kind of that kind of kid that was fairly driven to do things and didn't mind anything. Mm-hmm. And I'd found a club. I had been very ill at eight. I had meningitis, which is not fun. And so when you're recuperating,
no.
your brain is just, it's always a big headache is what it is. And I would watch these golfers. They've got a little muni across the bush from our house in Frankston. And I'd watch all these people playing golf, and I thought it was kind of fun. And then on my way through the bush to school, I found a golf club. And so I got it back 3 months later. My dad told me to take it down to the police station. And then so I had it in my room. I didn't think too much about it. And then on my way to high school, I just cut out another bit of bush and put a driving range there. And I thought, no, I think I'll just go and smack a few balls. And it was like magic for me. I put my hands on the club, and then I would just go every day and practice. And then a lady across the road,
right.
Mrs. McCall, saw me practicing. And I was very blessed to join a club. It was actually called Long Island Country Club in Aussie. And but what happened was I was around amazing athletes. Billy Britton was the Australian amateur champion. Sandy McCall ended up being a five-time Australian champion. And so there was a bunch of us, Stuart Ginn, who's played a little bit on the seniors tour and won. We all used to hang together.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Shearer, and we would go to all these country tournaments and play. So I really learned to play the game and competition. I was around excellence all the time, so I didn't think anything about it. And my dream always was because I wanted to come over to the United States and play on the LPGA.
Right.
That was the only space where you could create money, make a living for yourself. So that was the goal.
Sure.
So that's what I did. So I've been very focused to want to do that, and I left school early. My mother had a heart attack, and my father had a double heart attack. And then they brought the professor over to the house, and he said to me, one thing you're going to do, Penny, is that you will always continue to educate yourself. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And that really is what I've done for the rest of my life. I've played golf, but I've always been very, I'm really inquisitive in life. I just find that it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of ways to do things, and so that's what I do. That's what I did as a kid, and that's what I'm still a kid in a way. Aren't we all kids? Aren't we all little kids, really?
Exactly, and I can just imagine being somewhat of a ventriloquist. Just imagine some of the things that you were doing as a youngster to drive your parents crazy. But we won't get into that because this is a golf program. But
yes.
I'd love to hear about
that
sometime. I'm sure it's very interesting. But let me just ask you a little bit about life on tour for those that have never obviously played at a professional level. Just give the listeners here on Golf Talk Live just a little bit of an idea of what it was like to play on tour, because I think people have, and I'm not saying this as a criticism, but I think people have this sort of bright-eyed vision that it's all, you know, this wonderful, but I'm sure there's some difficulty, a lot of stress, a lot of grinding that needs to happen in order to maintain that level. Just kind of give the listeners here a little bit of a flavor, if you will, of what it was like for you
sure.
to play on tour, and then we'll
sure.
get into your competitive days.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was on tour for 18 years, so I have a really wide spectrum of what you're asking me there. I think, you know, if you're really gifted and talented and you come out, and I think the one thing is you have to have, to be able to make it on the tour, and let's face it, we're about 1 in 1 billion people that make it on tour, okay? So I've trained
right.
thousands and thousands of golfers. Very, very few have ever made it, and I haven't met anyone that made it to the level I did. I mean, it's really rare, okay? So let's put it that way, first of all. And so mm-hmm. you would think that people would have an understanding, but so rare, it must be hard. But everyone thinks they're all a spit
yep.
away from getting on tour. I mean, if I see one more spit flying in my direction, you know, they're just all a spit away. And the reason for that, yes, isn't that funny? The reason for that is that we make it look so easy. And
right.
so, fortunately, if you've had a good you have to have a gift from God, which is talent, meaning mentally mm-hmm. and physically. And sometimes you don't have to have as much physical talent as you do mental talent.
Right.
They're two very different subjects.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't
right.
see the mental talent unless you are a tour player. You can tell when people have mental talent. And how do you tell that? You can see it in the way. They're not bothered by what other people tell you to do. They're very comfortable in doing unique, doing their own thing. They're not running down the line asking a bunch of people what to do. Majority of people that don't, well, everyone that never makes it, doesn't have that gift God gives you that I'm fabulous, and if I stick to what I'm doing, I will make it. There's a huge difference. So when you get out on tour, you have these elite people, meaning one in a billion. They're just like you and I, except for the fact that they're very comfortable in knowing how to get the ball in the hole.
Right.
And they are very wise. And then I'm going to tell you the other side of it. And they're very wise in asking for counsel. Because one of the things you're going to find on tour is you're going to find a whole bunch of people wanting to make money off these tour players. And they're teachers and they're all those kinds of people. And if you've not been exposed to the fact that all of a sudden you've been whacking balls your whole life, you don't really, you're just a golfer. And you go out there and you don't think you're any different from anybody else. So you're very open, which is a good thing and a bad thing, but on the tour, it's a bad thing. You're very open to being shown what to do, or people come up and say, hey, if you did this and that. So you're going to get half the kids that come on tour, and they're going to be gone within a year and a half because they're trying to please everybody. Then you're going to get a quarter of those kids that stay on tour, and they have the heart, you're not going to tell me anything, and they do need some help, and they don't know how to get it, so they're gone. So then you have a few left that have the ability to be able to say, this is good for me, this is not. I'm going to choose this road, I'm going to choose this road, because I am secure in knowing how I work, what my golf game is, that I can get to where I need to get. And that's the few. And they're the ones that make it. And then you'll have some that will stay a few years, and then some that will stay longer and longer, and there are many reasons along the way. But it all comes down to what you got in your gut. That's what it comes down to in the end. And that's a rare breed.
Right. Let me just interject something here and just a thought, and you, I want to hear your opinion on this. I think one of the difference that I've noticed, I mean, obviously I'm going to be turning 50 next year, so I'm starting to creep up into that next phase of my life. I know I've still got a few years, good years left, but I'm getting into that next sort of level. And one of the things that I noticed, because I grew up watching players, and I'm referring more to the men in this particular point, but people like Nicholas and Palmer and Trevino and guys like that, the one thing that I seem to have noticed more so in their day was that they tended to go out and sort of prove themselves first, and then sort of the accolades fall. And what I mean by that is, and that's not to say that there weren't sponsors and things like that, and I realize that that's a different time now and so forth, but the thing that I seem to notice now is there's a lot of young players that are coming out that seem to be chasing the dollar and chasing the sponsorship and this sort of thing first, which I realize that you have to have money to play on the tour, but they're not really coming with the game that they need. And quite often you'll see them, that they'll be in contention for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you don't hear of them again. And that seemed to be different in earlier times. The players like Nicholas, as I said, and players like Julie Ingster, Nancy Lopez, and some of the other gals that were on the earlier LPGA tour, were sort of the same way. They tended to go out there and they were focused. As you said, they were professional. They knew what they needed to come and do. And they didn't seem to care about all the stuff that was going on around them. At least that's the way it appeared. Do you think that's
a
problem?
I don't really, I'd hate to blow your horn on that, but I really just don't see that. I don't see that every era has, because I was in those years. I started in the 70s and I went through the 90s, the late middle 90s.
Right.
So when you're on a golf course, you are playing the game. The golf course demands you play the game. People will have to do different things today to get money. It's very, very expensive to play. I get that. I totally get that portion. But when you get inside the lines and the ropes, everything is neutralized. Everything is the same.
Right.
So in the end of the day, I see the same amount of people not making it today as I did before, and it has nothing to do with the going after the dollar. If you're going after the dollar, then you're not working on the inside of you to get it together. If you're working on a
right.
golf game and you're sticking and you're worrying about your swing and everything else, you're still not going to make it. I think they're just the same issues that take you off target, off focus to where you need to go. It's just wrapped in a different package today. We have today such a huge amount. Where I see the difference today is in we have what I call here. There was less concern about perfection in shape in the 70s
right.
up until the mid 80s. I think it really started to change. 90s it really got, and now it's just gone out of its roof with everything that's happened. But that's not a good or a bad thing. The difference, though, is because when you've been out there for a year or two, you don't have a long period of experience behind you, so you can blow things up. But if you're coming up and being trained and giving such detail to a golf swing, it leaves the room for the mystery of the game, and because the game, you never know in 18 holes, as we know, you never know when you're going to hit one out of bounds. You never know. I mean, you're going to get pulled out of your safety zone real quick on a golf course. We train
right.
people today as if we take out the heart, meaning we take out the ability to say, I am the one in the day that senses this is what needs to happen. That is the languaging that's gone away today. Now it's like, if you can work on these particular focus skills or these particular mechanics and this and that and everything else, you will make it. But we know golf is not black and white. That's why I love golf, because there is no exact science to this. And where we've the tone of languaging has changed is to thinking that there is an exact science. So the kids that are coming up have this ridiculously high expectation of themselves in striking the ball. Like we used to say, I'm lucky to hit 3 perfect golf shots in a round of golf. Today, that would be sort of, well,
right.
there's something wrong with your swing. It isn't. I mean,
yeah.
it's all about balancing, and I mean, there's some amazing training out there, and again, if you can get through the rubbish and you get down to what we all do as tour players in the end, it's about balance, it's about the core. There is some beautiful work done in the musculoskeletal, there's some beautiful work done as I do in the brain and the science of the focus world, and if you can get through the rest of the noise and get to those truths, you're going to win, and you're going to win for a longer period of time and with less effort. So I can see in our future, if people get smart enough to get through the crap, that we will be able to, I mean, if I knew what I knew, and that's why I'm so sharing in my world of focus, if I knew what I knew and how to manage my focus, I would not have burned out. I would not have ended up with migraines and panic attacks for 14 years after the tour, of which I have none today. I see half
right.
of my friends that have left the tour still broken mentally. I mean, you just talk to some of my, you know, these are my dear friends. These are tour players. We're warriors is what we are. We are warriors.
Right.
We relate to cops. We relate to people in the military. And when we get broken, it's not pretty. It is not pretty, and it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. If we go back, that we have the essence in within, that there is no straight answers, but there's some fundamentals to a golf swing. There are some fundamentals to focus. If you understand them, you get to apply them the way you want to apply them, because that's your specialness. You can
right.
you give us all the same fundamentals, we're all going to look a little different. But we have them somewhere in our game. And if we go back there and we allow the human spirit to take control again instead of the coach, instead of we empower the student, now you're talking golf where it needs to get back to. And that's not throwing out the science. That's using the science,
right.
but in its place.
Right. Yeah, there's
that
a place for everything.
Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Well, no, but, you know, this is the whole purpose, really, Penny, of this. Very quickly, before I want to move into the next segment where I want to give you an opportunity to talk about focus, very quickly, how can the listeners, if they want to get in touch with you and learn more, obviously your website is available for them to
really,
get some of the information?
Yeah, it's really simple. It's PennyPulz, P-U-L-Z, that's the hottest part of it, .com, PennyPulz.com, and it has all of my information there, and we're going to talk more about this. I do webinars on focus, free webinars. They can sign up for them online. It's really easy to get a hold of me, and be delighted to talk to you.
Okay. I've just got a quick couple of announcements just to make, and then we're going to jump right back in, and I want you to talk about your Focus Determined Success program a little bit and share with the listeners here. For those of you tuning in, my very special guest is, of course, Penny Pulz, and she is definitely a competitor. And if you want to call into the program, you can call in and speak to us at area code 646-716-4667, or you can email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com if you have questions or comments about tonight's program. And obviously, I want you to visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog and throw a few likes our way. And also, you can visit the Golf Talk Live blog at www.golftalkliveblog.com. Okay, Penny, explain just a little bit to the listeners exactly what – now, I know it's available in an e-book. That's correct? The
yes,
Focus Determined Success?
Yes. My book is Focus – well, this is just one of my programs, Ted, okay? I have four different programs on focus. You know, focus is like a golf – it's like a game of golf. It's a massive subject. And to harness it down
right.
to – focus determines success and how to win, why you lose, so you can win over and over again. It's a massive subject. It has to be split into four pieces. The book is on my 10-step focus to win plan, and
okay.
that's like my – I designed that program out of my – it came – the 10 steps came out of my pre, my in, and my post-golf swings routine, and that's how they dawned. And so they're tried and true. They will hold you in good stead. And it's all about managing how to manage your focus so that you can stay in line to your goal. And so but kind of like the stuff that we were talking about, how everyone loses sight of what they really want, isn't it? That's what we really talked about
right.
in that first half. We get distracted. But that's what you can't do if you want to become a winner. So would you like me to share a little bit about those
sure.
steps?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Okay, and then you can just chime in if you have any questions or something, but it's the 10 steps, I'll just go through it. The first one is determine your goal. Now, that's such a – everyone tells you, don't, I mean, that's so boring, isn't it? Determine your goal, for
yeah.
God's sake. Determine your goal. I mean, if I hear that one more time, I think I'm going to puke myself, so I'm right there with you. But here's the deal. If you're not – and no one will tell you how to get to your goal. They'll just throw your information. Don't you love that one? Go get that
mm-hmm.
goal. Now, here's all that information to go do it. Just go do it. That's what they do. But here's what I say to you. Are you in alignment with that goal? Most of the time we make decisions to a goal, which should be my step two. Most people make decisions, half of them they go, well, their friends are doing it, I'll do it. Well, my dad tells me I want to be
right.
a golf pro, so I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going
right.
to do this, I'm going to do that. And then you do it everything half-hearted, right? So you go...
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is so what I'm always trying to do is ground you to you. So I ask you the question, are you in alignment to that goal? It's amazing when I'm coaching with people in business, it doesn't matter. This 10 steps go in business. They go in athletics. In fact, I'm working a lot with baseball pitchers, which is I absolutely love. It's just like golf. And so I say, are you in alignment to that goal? And they'll sit there and they'll go, I never thought about that. Okay, that's a good start. See, powerful step right there. So read that chapter.
Right.
We have a good old laugh. None of this is rocket science, but it's in the sequencing of the steps that makes them brilliant. So then you might say, okay, I think I'm in alignment with that, and then we'll come back to that. And then third step, it says to you, well, you got to take the emotion out of the equation right now. Because you have to, in step four, you've got to strategize without emotion. And it's kind of like this. I'll give you a little story. There's a brownie in the cupboard. Okay, and I go out and I do a lot of speaking, all right, Ted, on the subject of focus. And I like to keep my figure kind of trimmy, on the trimmy side, because I want to look fabulous, you know. We girls want to look fabulous all the time. And so I'm walking by and I'm working on some stuff and I see this little brownie in the cupboard and I'm walking by and I'm going, brownie. I'm not going to eat that brownie. Nope, I am not eating that brownie. And before you know it, because in your gut is where you make all your decisions, that's where your emotions sit. You never make them out of your head.
Right.
I'm like, I can taste that brownie in my mouth. It's starting to water. I slip in there and I grab that brownie, I eat it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Imagine over something so silly, if I had stepped back. I know you're laughing. You'd probably do it yourself. You step back and you go, okay, what's my goal? Well, I want to look trimmy, don't I? Well, what are you going to do? So if I just take that moment, step away, okay, step away from the emotion and strategize my emotion, strategize without emotion. Strategy is determining things like, okay, I think I want to change my swing coach. If you decide to do that after you shot 80 that night, you're going to make that decision, that could be a really dumbass decision you just made because you've made it from your emotion.
Right.
You're mad at yourself. You're more mad at yourself than you are your coach, but you can't determine that. You can't determine. You can't make those kinds of decisions when you're all fired up. You got to chill out, man. You got to chill out. And then it's the same thing, and you would work those four steps. So like getting to the goal, a lot of times when I'm working with golfers, I say this golfers a lot. They don't really know what their goal is. Now, that sounds really weird, doesn't it? Even pros. They don't know what they is. They've got themselves so twisted in the head, they're either into their golf swing as their goal, their putting swing as their goal, and letting everything else go to hell. They're not trying to keep everything in balance, moving it up slowly. They've got so much chaos in their head, they don't know what they're doing, and they're just one big full of emotion. Today I'm going to try this. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. What's your goal? What are you in alignment to? Silence.
Yeah.
You get silent.
Well, and that's that was, let me just interrupt just for a quick second here. That was
of,
I guess, what I was saying. Obviously, I didn't do a very good job of it, but that was one of the reasons why I was saying earlier with some of the differences between the guys today and some of the earlier ones. Like, for instance, and I'm using him for an obvious reason, but, you know, when I think of a very focused player, I think of, obviously, Jack Nicklaus, and a lot of people talk about that. But, you know, one of the things that I noticed about him, and if you look at his career, he didn't tinker around a lot with his golf game. I mean, he had the game that he had. He worked on it for many, many years, of course. But he didn't make a lot of changes to his swing and as you said, sort of reinvent the wheel. And what I start to see now with some of them is they get so involved, like you said. And he obviously had a very clear goal in mind of what he wanted his career to be. And he pursued that and obviously was very successful as a result of it. But what I see now is, as you said, a lot of people tinkering and more focused on the swing and things. And you're right. I'm sure if you went out and polled probably, 90% of the players on tour, they probably couldn't tell you what their goal is. I mean, it might be I want to win my first tournament or I want to win some majors or things like that, but it's nothing really defined. And more often than not, they're sifting through every part of their golf game going on in their head, even while they're out playing a lot of them. And I just wonder if there is that lack of focus with a lot of the touring players today.
Well, we love to turn – thank you for that share. That was great. And I think that is how most people perceive of what that is and in the world of focus. These are tools. My 10-step focus swing plan is a tool, okay, and I'll explain that a little bit more to you, a tool to keep you on track to the goal you want. Okay, so that you'd be practicing the steps to make sure, like, and let me just buzz through, I'm gonna promise you I'm going to come back to this. After you've done the four steps, okay, to keep you in alignment to the goal, and step five says take a mental vacation before you go into execute. So we have to distance ourselves from what we want to do. And that's what people don't do. Distance yourself. Say we were talking really about goal setting there, Nicholas, and I'll come back to a little bit more on Nicholas. We're really talking about goal setting here with emotion or without. And sometimes we get so emotionally involved, we forget the big idea of what the big picture is. The big picture is always to win. okay? If you're on tour,
right.
you want to win. That's great. But
sure.
then the next one is, what's my path to get there? What is my path to get there? And then you have that kind of down. And then there are those things that come in to distract you from it. But what the great ones have, so I want to come back to the Nicholas thing, and I'll come to you. Nicholas, Joanne Carner, Nancy Lopez, Patty Sheehan, Tom Watson, all of the great players, and Tiger Woods, they have an ability to quiet the mind. And we all hear that
right.
one. But they have an ability to go within themselves to their authentic self,
mm-hmm.
where they know the truth, and they bring that truth out. That can be practiced. You see, they think that's called the zone, the peak performance zone. When we're in the peak performance zone, we are totally authentic to ourselves, and we're like a little kid in the playground. And it's all fun, and it's really easy to do. And so when we are not in that place, we get uptight, we push, we try, and all these things, and then we try and get really super intelligent. My God, I can't be a bloody kid, for God's sake. I'm supposed to be intelligent with all this stuff coming at me, right? But that's not
right.
what you where you are when you are in peak performance. Peak performance, in my other model that I train, which is the five phases of focus, actually gives you exercises and trains you on what they are and how to move between them all so that you can move into a peak performance zone whenever you want to, and you can come out of it whenever you want to. Can be removed from yourself when you need to, if you do not need to have an emotional moment. And then you can absorb yourself into a shot if you've become so distant from yourself you don't even know how to swing a wedge, for God's sake. Okay? That's a different program. So focus, in the world that we talk about focus, is about being very narrow. I see Jack Nicklaus focusing, but you also see Jack Nicklaus winning, and he's open. He's playing like a kid. Remember that when in 1986, the world was that great one at the Masters, he
right.
was jumping up for joy when he made that putt. That's a kid.
Sure.
That's a kid right
yep.
there. That's not an intelligent man. I mean, in the other world where he's making all that stuff, making these golf courses all over the world, that's a different mindset. But
right.
but in those moments, whether he's visioning to see a golf course, and then if you get caught up, and if he just got himself all caught up in the tractor making the mark, then he's going to lose the big picture. It's the same as golf.
Right.
You play the whole 18 holes. But the what makes the 10 steps work, what makes, you know, I train people how to be great competitors. What's their competitive style? It all comes down to how you pay attention to your own focus. In the end of the day, I always say that you have your eighth sense. Do we have six senses? I think we have six senses. Then you have a seventh sense, and that is paying attention to how you are focusing, not what you're focusing on. Therein lies the difference in the world of, like, you know, I was a golf teacher for 17, 18 years, lived in research labs, done that whole thing. But you know, and we're all conditioned to have a golf swing coach. You have golf psychologists. These are all good things. I'm none of those. I am a focus expert on the fundamentals of focus and how you learn to switch your focus styles around for any situation so you can handle it. So that if all of a sudden, like when I was, if I'd had this skill set, I go to the U.S. Open in Toledo. I am ready for this. I finished third like three times in a row. I'm going to win this damn thing. And I go there the month before, and I'm, you know, pontificating my life all around there. And I got this whole thing. Look at this. I'm down. I go up there. I'm ready to go. I play the first six holes, and I'm cruising. And then a tornado hit. True story.
Wow.
I come out of that tornado. I go on that tee. Well, all the half the trees are down. It looks like it's in the war zone. The greens are all big, one big slush. I can't switch gears. So what does a normal person do when you can't switch gears? Get mad. I got mad.
Yeah.
I got mad, and then I got frustrated, and then I did all these things, and it took me, I don't know how I made the cut, it took me the last nine holes of the last day to let out one of my pin roars and go, okay, I surrender. I'm going to play the game. I'm going to play the golf course you give me right now. And I will be the one who's pliable. That's what I'm talking about. Focus must be pliable. You have to, every day a golf course gives you a different look. Most people do not succeed because they want the look they want. A golf course says to you, humble yourself. You know, I say bow to the golf course every day. Not in humility, but in strength. Humility with strength.
Right.
And the and these skills, mental skills of focus, can be learned. I learned them. I learned them when I played my very best. That's what I did. I was a kid. I was flexible. Anything come down the pipe, I could handle it. I played my worst. When I was inflexible, I was sinking, I was trying to manage. I imagine trying to give a golf lesson and hit a golf ball at the same time. Impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible. But how many people try to do that? 99% of the people have played golf because they watch all this stuff on the TV and they think they've got to have 15,000 things. No one's, we've got to start to talk about the language of the talking to with yourself, and how do you find your authentic self, and how do you know how much you know? And the only way you know that, I think, of competition is this. Competition is between you and what you want. That's what competition is. So unless you're in touch to yourself, unless you're in touch to yourself, I'm going to kick your ass down the road every day. That's a professional competitor.
Yep.
I'm a professional competitor. I get you wormy in 2 seconds and I beat you. Not even a blink in my eye.
it's so easy to see someone
that can't compete. It's so easy to see.
Well, and that's something that's so true that you see with it, especially the everyday. I mean, obviously at the tour level, it's, you know, a little bit different. But, you know, for the everyday golfer, they're looking for, you know, way, you know, improve their game. And they're focusing more on the physical side of it, I think, and as opposed to the mental side of it. And I think that's really what's hurting the average person. You know, in playing golf, I mean, obviously you have to develop a solid game, but, you know, if you look back to some of the older players like a Trevino or something like that didn't have the picture-perfect swing, but they were able to make it all work. And today I just think people are so focused on having, you know, 20 different swing thoughts and this sort of thing, and they're just getting out there, and I think that adds to the level of frustration as well, and they don't have fun.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it. I was just going to say that, that's...
Well, I don't think that that's changed because our average scores of regular people playing golf hasn't changed. No one can break 100. And that average score is still 100. Doesn't matter what we've all done. I think, I honestly believe, of all the years of my teaching, everyone believes they're a teacher. Everyone thinks they know how to play the game. I mean, that's probably the real issue. I think if you become a great teacher, you have a lot of humility because everyone knows how to do it. That's just standard operating procedure in my business. Okay. So I always ask them, okay, so what do you know about this? You know, da-da-da-da-da. And I find out exactly what they know and what they don't know, and I don't tell them what they don't. I just say, okay, and then I know where to start the conversation going because that's a standard I already know. Everyone believes they know how to teach golf, and they really know all about a golf swing. And when you play it at a really, really high level like I did, in the beginning when I was teaching, because we can feel our body, I would put it this way, when you're talking to a professional athlete, we are like a race car. You know, one little tweak here, we can feel it. I can feel, you know, I would just use my forefinger to turn the toe or squeeze my left finger to hold it just for a slight fade. I mean, we could throw toes, heels, slides. We can decelerate and mean it. You know, we can do things that the average Joe won't even know about. And yet so it's really hard when you first start teaching to get the drift that everyone thinks they're a teacher. And unfortunately, when you think you are a teacher, you are unteachable. Because you have all the answers.
Right.
So we have to kind of back it out a little bit and say, you know what? I tell them, I don't have all the answers. I'm still learning. And it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it in the end of the day, I just think that our training has to be a unit. Yeah, coach and player,
right.
Just any great coaching. I mean, I've left the tour, I've left a lot of the golfing world, and I'm in my focus world working with golfers, but I've always had a coach. I've always had a coach,
right.
And I've always fired all the coaches that would talk down to me. And in the end, it's like, I have to, as a coach, I have to get to you where you are, because the only reason you're mouthing off at me is because you're afraid. You're just full of fear. That's
right.
All there is to it. When I get tour players come
right.
to me, they are so twitchy. I mean,
yeah.
They're twitchy. Okay, and they're just full of fear. They're just full of fear.
Mm-hmm.
They want what they want so badly that they've forgotten. They have removed themselves from who they are. They think someone else
right.
can fix them. And I think that's what you're really
mm-hmm.
saying. Everyone thinks everyone can fix you. No one can fix you. But together, let's join together and be respectful. I'm going to respect even a brand new golfer. If they have one little thing they've gotten down, that's a great starting point, because they've figured that out. They've gotten the information, figured out the information for themselves, and applied it.
Right.
And that's what good learning is about. I've been coached
right.
for the last year by these amazing coaches and speaking and all this stuff, too, and I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
he'll kill me.
Yeah.
But I would take that information, and then I would learn from it and put it back in Penn's way. Go ahead, Betty.
Right. Let me very quickly, I think we've got a caller here. Let me just bring this person
great.
On and see if they have a question for us. Welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Yeah, hi.
Question.
Yeah, hi, Ted. This is Sean Kelly. I run Lent Golfers on LinkedIn and elsewhere. And Penny, I think we've exchanged a couple of emails, but it does not hold a candle to the passion that you're showing here on this show. You have me in stitches over here half the time, because what you're saying, like, you know, how do you know what you don't know, and, you know, your struggles after the hurricane and things like that, that's all swirling around in my mind all the time, and your voice sounds exactly like what my inner voice is
cool.
telling me. But
that's
on the
cool,
on the other front, you know, you were just mentioning how everyone's a coach, everyone's a teacher. Do you have any tips? You know, we've all played with those folks who like to tell you what you're doing wrong. You know,
mm-hmm.
we all have a different way of processing our games. We go
yeah.
in different orders, and, you know, we struggle with different
exactly.
body types and injuries and things. So you get someone that tells you that something's wrong, it just sort of adds a new layer of
right.
of confusion to the mess, right? So
right.
how do you deal with that?
This is my one line. Please take it and use it whenever you want, okay? Thank you so much for your concern. Now, and if they don't get that one, I go, one more time. Thank you so much for your concern. Now, tell me, what do you do for a living? They didn't say another bloody word.
Yeah, that's a great idea, particularly for my group.
Now,
you know,
turn it back to
fantastic.
Them. Turn it back to them. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Definitely.
Well, thank you, Penny. Insightful. And, Ted, great show. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks,
Sean. Good work.
I appreciate you calling. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Thanks, Sean.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye, John.
Yeah, Sean's a great guy. Sean and I have actually communicated working on some projects together as well. He
cool.
operates one of the largest, in fact, I think it's the largest golf group on LinkedIn, and he's going to be bringing it out.
He
with
said
the,
it so fast. Which one is it? Because I'm
it's
a bunch of them.
It's Linked Golfers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, LinkedIn. It's by far the largest
yes.
golf group in that medium, and he's actually going to be bringing it out with a brand new website that he's just putting the final touches. In fact, I think it's done, and
cool.
the show is actually going to be part of it. We're going to be working together on that. So, and he's going to be coming on actually in the new year fairly regularly. He's going to be coming on some of the shows and updates and different things from all over around the world in the golfing world. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And Sean's a great guy. So he and I have been talking back and forth for the last several months about this project, so I'm looking forward to it. So thanks, Sean, for calling in and asking a great question. Penny, we just got a few more minutes here, and I have to wrap it up, unfortunately, but I want to have you back because I know there's like a million plus things that you can share with the listeners, and I thoroughly have enjoyed, as Sean had indicated, enjoyed listening to you speak. But just very quickly, how can those that want to participate in the program or learn a little bit more about that, how can they do that? And what would you suggest for somebody that's just sort of starting out, getting their feet wet, what they need to be focusing on?
In the game of golf or in the game of focus? In the game of golf, you would want to just go through a beginner series, and if you feel overwhelmed, that's excellent. And you go home and have a glass of wine, and you don't go back until you've gone out and kind of simmered down and you feel like it's there. One thing that I got from that lesson, if you didn't get anything from that lesson, go to someone else. That's rule number one, because you have to begin in the beginning to become your own coach. You've got to make the decisions. We're going to take back golf, by golly, one person at a time. And then in the world of focus, it is a massive subject. I mean, the focus manages your whole nervous systems, how your body moves. There's all kinds of areas. I've only taken one tiny piece of focus, okay? But it's the part that's really important in life. It's the part that says, that teaches you how to hit on demand, or we used to say all the time to the kids, I'd make the kids, hit on demand, do it right now. Learn how to make that speech when you need to make that speech, create that piece for your boss when it needs to be done on time. So it's a very important part. So when it first of all starts out, you and I, we would work together. I do have webinars they can go to. We have the 10-step Focus to Win Plan webinar that I'm rolling out right now, which is a great basic line. You can have personal coaching with me, and we go through them to find what are the areas that have you stuck, that you cannot seem, you know, every time you get to that point, your brain goes up in 150,000 different directions. So I teach you to work through that and then get you into being more authentic with yourself, learning how to tune into that. And then from there, wherever you want to go will be determined on how much I can be of service to you. So it's one step at a time, just like a golf swing.
Yep. You have to build it one step at a time. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if they want to get the information, they can get it all at your website at www.pennypauls.com.
Yeah.
And they can also contact you through that website as well. Penny, thank you very, very much for coming on. And I know we got a little bit of a later start, but I definitely would love to have you come back on so you can spend more time and get into your program even more and in depth. And one of the things I mentioned many times on the program, something that we're doing in the new year here in Golf Talk Live is actually dedicating a segment every show to what we call Coach's Corner, which will allow a number of different teacher professionals that come on the program and help some of the listeners out there that want to call in and ask questions. But also, I'm an area that I've really wanted to focus on. I've talked about it. I talked about it earlier in the program before you actually came on. Is I'm going to be dedicating an entire show to women in golf from all aspects of the game and industry as well. And it's just because I think it's an area that still is developing and needs a lot more nurturing, and I just feel it's an area that's important to me, and I've expressed it to a number of people in the LPGA that want to participate as well. So I would love for you to come back on the program and offer some insight and help in that area. If you wish, and so I'm extending that invitation to you to come back anytime you want.
Well, anytime. I am a big proponent for women's golf. Any way I can be of service for women's golf, and I'm so appreciative that you're wanting to step up to the plate for us on that, and it's awesome. I'm available. Thank you so much, Ted, for putting that segment in there. Really appreciate that.
Not a problem. And it's just something that I feel that, again, it's an area. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of fantastic women in the golf industry right now, but it's still a huge market that I think has not really been tapped in. And there's a lot of reasons, we don't have time to get into it now, but a lot of reasons I feel that it hasn't been approached the way it should. And this is something that I'm going to do my little part, if you will, in the golf industry to help do that, and I want to use this program to be able to do that. So I would love for you to participate. I know you've got some great insight and a lot of experience behind you, and I know that you'd be a great asset to have on the program again. So Penny, again, anytime that you want to come back on to Golf Talk Live, and we can talk a little bit more about your program and also some of the things that you're doing. I know you do a lot of the speaking engagements and things like that, and I'm going to give the website again after we're done here, so that people can go and find out a little bit more about what it is that you're doing and get in touch with you that want to follow some of the things that you're doing on your website. So again, Penny,
thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's anytime I get an opportunity to share the world of my world of focus. It's awesome, and love your show, and just appreciate it. Anytime. Love to be on your show, and just thank you again for having me today, Tim.
Not a problem, Penny. Thank you very, very much. You have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Okay, just want to just wrap things up here. Just got another moment or two before we go off the air. I just want to thank both of my guests this evening. Got a little bit later start than I had planned, but that's okay. Finished great, so I'm always happy to be able to bring some of these great guests to my listening audience. Obviously, Penny Pauls is a phenomenal competitor. Played on the LPGA Tour for, as she said, 18 years. Was a multiple LPGA winner, two top 50 golf teacher awards, and also a focus expert, as you've heard in the last 40 minutes or so. Trained literally thousands of entrepreneurs and golfers in the game of both golf and the game of business to be able to win over and over again. And I want to thank her. And for those of you that want to find a little bit more about Penny and what she's doing, you can certainly visit her and check it out on her website at www.pennypauls.com. Thank you again, Penny, for coming on the program. And I want to also thank my other guest, Rita Scheninger, Scheneman, for coming on the program. I apologize, Rita, who talked a little bit about the Star Putter training tool, and you're going to be hearing more about that in the weeks to come as well as we lead up into Christmas. And I just want to thank her for coming on. And definitely check out her website as well at starputter.com. And there was a great, as I mentioned earlier in the program, a great video by Chuck Cook talking about how her product, the Star Putting tool, actually works and how you use it to help your putting game. So definitely check that out. And Rita, again, thank you for coming on the show. We'll be back next week here on Golf Talk Live Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time with my guests Bernie Pinder and Greg Ortman and Barry Goldstein from Ontic Golf, as well as Joe Watson from No Sweat Lotion, who will be coming on here as well. That's October 24th. And October 31st, Danette Lucia is going to be coming back on, is going to be coming on to talk about her book, Golf Club World Behind the Gates. So you want to stay tuned for that. And then don't forget, November the 7th, I'm going to be joined by Kent Novus of Nine Iron Drink and also Mr. Billy Casper. So you want to make sure that you mark those dates down to be back here on Golf Talk Live. And next week, I will give you the schedule for November as well. Probably not going to do a show on, I believe it's the 28th, is the last Thursday, I believe. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but the 20th of November. Of course, that falls in the week of Thanksgiving. Actually, I think it's the 26th. I apologize. Thanksgiving weekend, so obviously we're not going to do a show. Everybody will be with family and so forth. And also the week after the 19th of December. 19th of December will be the last show in December that we'll be doing. That'll be the last one for 2013, giving a little bit of a break until the new year from Golf Talk Live. So anyways, I want to thank you all for joining me this evening. I appreciate you tuning in each and every week. I want to thank my good buddy Sean for calling in and asking a great question. And Sean, I'll be in touch with you soon. We'll get together and talk a little bit more about linked golfers, and we're going to do an official launch here on Golf Talk Live about that, and more to come in the weeks and months ahead. So anyways, thank you very much for tuning into Golf Talk Live. I will see you, or rather you will hear me next week here on Golf Talk Live Thursday at 6 p.m. Central each and every week. Thank you and have a great evening. God bless.